Awesome. How are you guys doing this morning? How many of y'all are exhausted? And again, like last year, the time change got you. You know, okay, everybody, yeah, well, anyway. I was hanging out with at Paul and Jenny Ross's house with the family on Friday night. We were playing some games, and we got to talking about a church in town. And apparently they had, this has really nothing to do with the sermon, I just want to tell you guys this. This church apparently brought in a prophet, and the prophet got up on stage and looked at the senior pastor and said, "This man is God's anointed. He is not to be questioned." That happened. And I thought to myself, what would happen if we brought that guy here? And he got up and pointed at me and said, "This man is God's anointed. He is not to be questioned." You know what you guys would do? You guys would laugh, exactly. You guys would, I was just thinking to myself, that wouldn't fly at this church. And as I reflected on that, I can honestly say I'm glad that that would be your reaction. Because our goal here at Catalyst is not to make blind followers of a human or of a person. Our goal here at Catalyst is to develop mature believers in Christ who know the truth. Adults in the faith, not children. Not someone who needs to follow blindly a leader, but one who is skeptical of those in power, that rarely follows a crowd, that think for yourself and check everything that you hear against the truth of God's word. That's what we want here at Catalyst. We want people that whose standard is the word of God and not some human leader. And guys, that's what we want. Question, you need to check everything that's said from this pulpit or in the media, or against the Word of God. Because the Word of God is our standard of truth, not what some human being says. But anyway, we're talking about thou shalt not lie, that God expects honesty from His followers. It's the main thing today. And so we're just going to dive right in here, guys, because this is probably one of the most violated commandments of the Ten. It really is, and I was going through and I identified five types of lies that at least I have seen and that I am tempted to do. The first one is the blatant lie. Everybody say blatant lie. Blatant lie, okay? Proverbs 12:19 says this, "Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment," and that is true. The blatant lie is what Bill Cosby was describing when he was telling the story in his stand-up comedy several years ago of his 15-month-old child getting the cookie. All right, so the 15-month-old child is getting into the cabinets and wants to get the cookie, and he runs in there and catches him, and he takes the cookie away and says, "You can't have this. You can't have this." And he takes the cookie and he puts it way up here, and he walks out, and the child begins to build a very sophisticated ladder and climbs up and gets the cookie. And he says that it's a good thing that the adults know that sound travels, because 15-month-olds don't know that. And they're also not bright enough to hire a lookout. And so he hears the paper rattling and everything, and he goes in there, and there's the child holding the cookie. And he says, "And then you as the parent say the most brilliant thing that could ever come out of your mouth. You say, 'What are you doing?' And this honest child looks at you and says, 'I was getting a cookie for you.'" The blatant lie, you know, and I think the maddest my parents have ever been was when I was a kid. And we had just tarred the driveway, re-asphalted the driveway, and it was a really hot day. And anybody who's ever re-tarred a driveway knows that when the excess kind of can ball up. And so my friend and I were bored, and we decided that the garage door, which was painted white, would look better black. And so we took the little balls of tar and rubbed it on the garage door. We don't know why, it just seemed like a good idea at the time. Okay, and so, but the problem is that stuff stuck to our hands, And so the geniuses that we were, we ran around and started trying to wash it off of our hands using cold water. I mean, it's like, and then all of a sudden our moms come around. They have seen the tar on the, and it only was here. So they knew that some short person had done it. And they come around, and here we are with black tar on our hands. And they say, "Did you do that?" We go, "No, we had no idea." Blatant lie. Let's just say that I didn't sit down for about a week after that. The blatant lie. The second one is the white lie. This is the lie where you just don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And I really don't have any way to describe this better than Geico. So let's take a look at what Geico has to say.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Was Abe Lincoln honest?
Does this dress make my backside look big?
Perhaps it
will. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Yeah. The white lie, where you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and it's really not that big a deal, and everything. So there's the white lie that we tell them. The third one is the hurtful lie. This is in Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin." This is kind of lie you tell when you want to hurt someone. Back when Catalyst started 10 years ago, we started in March, April, and the spring, and we didn't have members until about a year later. We just didn't have a membership class or anything like this. But someone called me up and said, "Why are you charging $300 for a person to join your church?" And I said, $300? We're charging $300? I didn't know this. And they said, "Yeah, it's all over the church. The Catalyst charges $300 to join the church." And I looked at John Kelly and I said, "John, you must be getting wealthy, man. You must be charging people. You know, I haven't seen any of this. What is going on?" He's like, I have no idea. Somebody, for some reason, at some church in Lexington had started a rumor about us that we were charging $300 to join this church. I mean, that was brilliant. Why didn't I think of that? You know, but seriously, they did that just to make us look bad or to try to hurt us, try to hurt our reputation in the community. And I know that many of us have had hurtful lies spread about us, and many of us have spread hurtful lies about other people. God says, "Thou shalt not lie." The fourth one, though, this is, and we're getting a little bit more intense here. I call it the prayerful lie. How many of us on a regular basis lie to God? We lie to God. How many of us, we go to our prayer time and our lives are falling apart? We're angry at everyone around us. Our finances are a mess. The kids are failing in school. You're about to be fired. And you go to God and you say, "Thank you for this day." We truly tell God the truth? Or do we only tell God what we think he wants to hear? You know, let's look at this prayer of King David. Remember, King David was a man after God's own heart. In other words, other than Jesus, he is the example. He is the example to follow. Okay? This prayer of King David. This is a man after God's own heart. A guy so close to God that everything goes right, right? Well, look at Psalm 109:6-15. This is a prayer of David. Listen to this. See if you've ever prayed a prayer like this. "Appoint someone evil, God, to oppose my enemy. When he's tried, let him be found guilty. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars. May they be driven from their ruined homes. May a creditor seize all that he has. May no one extend kindness to him or take pity on his fatherless children. May his descendants be cut off. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord. May the sin of his mother never be blotted out. May their sins always remain before God." And he goes on and on and on. Now, I think he was having a bad day. I would say that. I know that I've never prayed that way again. I felt that way about some people before. I've never prayed that way before. So why would King David pray like this? Well, it's real simple, people. Because he knew God already knew what was going on. God already knew what was going on. God already knew his thoughts. He already knew his situation. He already knew everything. He's God. And so David figured that God being God, that God could handle it. And so he poured out his heart. What a revelation. You know, this is why David is considered a man after God's own heart, not because of perfection, but because he laid it all bare, his heart, before God. And he would not lie to God and say things were great when they weren't. And he wouldn't lie to God and say that I'm fine when everything wasn't. And it's because he was completely honest and forthright with God. If David was having a great day, God knew about it. If David was having a bad day, God knew about it. And guys, everything and everything, from highs to lows in David's life, he laid it out all before God. And so I want to ask you, is that you today? Is that what you do before God? Or do you only tell God what you think he wants to hear? You know, as if he doesn't already know what's going on. You guys, I love being a dad. One of the things I did when my kids were little, we played hide and seek. Any parents play hide and seek with their kids? No one has ever played hide and seek with their kids. No, you're like, no, what is that? It's where one person goes and hides, and the other person counts and tries to go find them. It's a pretty cool game. You got to try it. Well, anyway, when the kids were little, Casey and us were little, we played this all the time, and I was counting. I counted 10. They ran off. And I remember going into the family room, and they're sitting on the couch with a blanket over them, with their feet sticking out, were my daughters sitting there on the couch. And I'm thinking to myself, they really think I can't see them. And they were giggling and laughing. I go, shh, daddy's gonna find us, shh. Sitting with a blanket over them with their feet sticking out. And I thought to myself, you know, isn't that exactly the way most of us are with God? We actually think God can't see our thoughts. We think that God can't see our problems, can't see the state of our heart, can't see our anger, can't see our frustration. And so we hide it from him and we just basically become liars when it comes to prayer. When God says, thou shalt not lie, that means with him as well. And then there's the masterpiece. There's the half-truth, which is the masterpiece. In 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 22, the prophet Samuel tells Saul to go destroy the Amalekites for his judgment on what they did to Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. And so he's supposed to go destroy everything, and destroy the plunder, the army, the king, everything, destroy them all. Well, Saul goes and he destroys the army, but he grabs hold of the plunder, the riches, the animals, everything, brings them back. And when Samuel approaches the army, Saul runs out to him and says, Lord bless you, I've carried out the Lord's instructions. And Samuel said, no, you haven't. I see all the plunder right here. And Saul goes, oh, yeah, you know, see, we were going to sacrifice that to God, you know, for this great victory. And Samuel looks at Saul and basically says, you liar. God doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants to be obeyed. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And now not only have you not obeyed, you've tried to lie and cover it up and just slide in just enough truth to make it sound believable. And because you've done this, because you have neglected the word of the Lord, the Lord has rejected you as king. And guys, I wonder if that happens in our lives today too. See, Saul went after the parts of God's will that made sense to him, and he went after the parts that made him feel good, and then he neglected the parts that he didn't want to do, that didn't make sense. That's a good thing that doesn't happen in our lives, right? I mean, how many of us obey the parts of God's will that make sense to us and that benefit us and that we like, and then we neglect the parts that don't make sense or cause us to change or cause us to be different than the world, cause us to stand out? How many of us have done that? And then we lie to ourselves and say that we're following God. It's a half-truth. It's exactly what's going on here. God says, thou shalt not lie. Instead, God says to his followers, I don't want you to lie. I don't want you to do blatant lies or white lies or hurtful lies or prayerful lies or the half-truth. I don't want you to do that. Instead, I want you to speak the truth in love. That's the biblical standard for all Christians, to speak the truth in love. Now, Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. All right, so I want you to imagine a continuum up here, okay? Over on this side right here is truth, and over here is love, and somewhere in between is everybody. Some people tend towards the truth part, and some people tend towards the love part. See, we're all out of balance. We're all out of balance. It's part of our sin nature, and what God wants is a combination of both, okay? Now, if we have truth without love, if we are all the way on this side over here, we are really concerned with what is right and wrong. That's what some of us are in here. They're more concerned with right and wrong than being loving. What we become is harsh and judgmental. We become harsh and judgmental. There were people in the Bible that were all about the truth and none loved. They were called Pharisees, people that were concerned with the truth and not love. And I would imagine this Pharisees spoke, every word of their mouth was probably true, but it wasn't loving. And they were so concerned with truth that they forgot that there was a person in front of them. Now, if you go all the way to the other end, you have people that are so concerned with loving people that they have no truth. We call these people fake because all they do is tell you what you want to hear. They're one way with this person, they're another way with this person because they have no truth. They have no respect for the truth. All they want to do is just be loving. And we all have encountered people like that. But the Christian command is to have both, to have love and truth. And when you have love and truth, when you center yourself in this continuum where you don't sacrifice the truth, but you're also loving, you are fulfilling the will of God. All right? This is the truth is that Jesus wants a balance between the two. I got called to a hospital once to go visit a lady in the church, and she had been sick. She'd had the flu, and she got the flu. She was doing better, and I wanted to go over there early in the morning to catch her before she left. You know, just pray with her, visit with the family, laugh a little bit, and quick visit because I had a busy day to do. So I got her to the Central Baptist Hospital, and I went to the front desk. I asked for the name. They gave me the room number on a card, and I went upstairs. And as I walked into the room, the man laying in the bed did not look anything like the lady I was supposed to visit. And there's only one other person in the room, and it was this older lady. And moreover, the man laying on the bed didn't look, not only did he not look like the woman I was supposed to visit, but he was dead. And the woman was crying her eyes out. And she looks up at me, and she goes, "Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness you're here. I knew that my church wouldn't forget about me. You're the new pastor, aren't you? We haven't been there because we've been in the hospital so much and we haven't been there. And you've only been there about a month. I knew our church wouldn't forget about us." I'd gone to the wrong room. I didn't know this person. I didn't know her. I didn't know the gentleman laying there. And instead of laughing and joking family, all of a sudden, here is this woman that mistook me, thought that I was from her church. Now, what was I supposed to say? Now, if I was all the way over here on the truth thing, I would have said, "No, I'm not your pastor. And as a matter of fact, your church has forgotten about you. Nobody likes you." Is that what you would have said? Is that what you would have said? No, absolutely not. So I go, "Here I am." That wasn't a lie. "Here I am. Yeah." And we sat there for hours. And she didn't know what to do. I suggested a funeral home for her and called the funeral home. And I sat there and read some scripture with her and just visited with her for hours. And finally, funeral home came, took possession of the body. And as the funeral home people were taking the body out of the room, I took the lady's hand and I said, "Miss Davis, I have to tell you something, because I want to be your friend, and friendship can't be based on a lie." And I said, "The front desk gave me the wrong room number. I'm supposed to be visiting someone else in my church. I'm not your pastor, and your church didn't send me, but I'm glad I was here." And she squeezed my hand so tightly, and she just looked at me and said, "You have no idea how glad I am that you were here." And somewhere in the back of my mind, the voice of God echoed the words of Scripture, "Bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We're to speak the truth in love without compromising either. Guys, my heart is really burdened this morning because of what I believe to be something going on in our culture. And I wasn't going to say anything until yesterday as I was preparing for this, and I could not get this off of my mind. My heart is burdened this morning with this speaking the truth in love. And my question is simply this: has the church lied to the world? Have we told the world a half-truth about the gospel? Have we lied about God's coming wrath? I mean, have we spoken the truth in love to a culture? And please forgive me if I step on anyone's toes, because it's my intention to be both truthful and loving. But have we spoken the truth to a culture that has completely sold itself to material indulgence, to political correctness, to racism, to transgenderism, to homosexuality, adultery, drug use, disrespect for elders? Have we spoken the whole truth of God to this culture? Pastor J.L. Packer said, "To an age which has unashamedly sold itself to the gods of greed, pride, sex, and self-will, the church mumbles about God's kindness but says virtually nothing about his coming judgment, even though Scripture says that." Have we as a church lied and not proclaimed the whole counsel of God? Are we loving enough to speak the truth, and are we truthful enough to speak love? The gospel is the prime example of speaking the truth in love, people. The gospel starts with some hard truths that says we are all sinners, every one of us, and we are not okay. This isn't okay. For the truth of the gospel is that for sin, everyone is going to hell. That is the truth of the gospel. That's where the gospel starts off, that everyone is lost and everyone is deserving of hell. As nice as you are, as nice as everyone is, that's what the price of sin is. And the church has stopped preaching that. But that's only the first part. Then the gospel becomes very loving and says that because we are all going to hell, Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead to forgive you of this sin. And those who repent and come to the foot of the cross and will allow Jesus to take the punishment for them will have eternal life. We've cut off the first part of it and only preached the second part of it. But we have not spoken truth to a culture that has completely rejected God. Like I said, we mumble about God's kindness when so many people in our culture are dying and going to hell. Has the church really been loving enough to be truthful? My heart is very burdened this morning, because we must communicate both truth and love. The truth is that we're all sinners, and the love is that God is a great God who loves you and is willing to forgive you for your sins. But unless we repent, unless we turn from our sins, that grace, we will forfeit that grace. And guys, if you communicate the gospel of truth and love, we get Jesus' message that we are great sinners and God is a great God. But be warned, if you do love people enough to tell them the entire counsel of God, and you talk about the truth that we are all sinners and the punishment for sin is hell, if you do preach that, you will be rejected. There will be people that won't like your message. George Orwell said it himself: the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we as a culture have drifted so far from the truth, the people that speak truth now are hated. So are you ready to speak the truth in love and stop lying to a culture that has rejected everything there is about God? That's the question, church. Are we as a church strong enough to speak the truth in love? Are we loving enough to tell the truth in love? That's the question. And that's something that I felt like this message needs to be gotten out, that we are great sinners and God is a great God. And those who are willing to accept Him as Lord and Savior can be forgiven and be given the gift of eternal life. If you need that today, then you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have never done that, you need to do that now. What are you waiting for? You need to do that now. If you've already done that, then we need to constantly be repenting and examining our lives and coming to the foot of the cross and allowing Jesus to cleanse us of our sins. That's what we need to do, because the truth is, for sin there must be death. But the love is the love of God will overcome all of that. Let me pray for you.